At least the wind isn't blowing as much as it was yesterday, but yeah, Don Dunn, Coach Don Dunn here alongside, mentioned a few minutes ago, and you're exactly right. It's fine if you're in the sun.
In the sun.
Boy, if you're in the shade.
Good luck.
It is cold. I was over at the baseball park where Auburn is getting ready to play a huge game. This will be, until this weekend, this will be the highest-ranked matchup ever at Plainsman Park.
Really?
Yeah, because
wow.
Georgia Tech comes in number three, mm-hmm. and Auburn is number four.
Wow.
So there has never been a top five, both teams
in
ranked
history.
In the top five at Plainsman Park.
I would not have bet that,
yeah.
But that's great. And then this weekend.
And then number two, Texas, comes in this weekend. So it's going to be
good
two
luck.
Versus four. This weekend, but
scalp some tickets.
Yep, Auburn. So Auburn, Georgia Tech, just getting underway, and Andreas Alvarez on the mound for the Tigers. So that is going on. Yes, that is going on, and we'll keep you updated on that. It has been a full day in Auburn athletics
for sure.
This morning at a little before 9 o'clock, we had an opportunity to go out and see day one of spring football practice under Alex Golish today. And I will say it was a very up-tempo, seemed like, I mean, everybody was really excited. Day one, though, I mean,
yeah.
There's going to be a lot of excitement on day one.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. I watched some video, been showing it. Looked like a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of, jumping around, hugging, high-fiving, which you're right. And that's the way it should be. I'd hate to see them come out there half dead the first day. But you're right. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of anxiety, and it's good to get that first day over, whether you're a new coach or a new player.
Well, yeah.
There wasn't a lot of sleep out of either one last night, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
You're so nervous. And, oh, my gosh, what if I oversleep or something like that?
No, but I thought, I mean, even the stretching, I mean, even the warm-ups were a little more fast-paced.
Right.
And, I mean,
the coaches were
really encouraging,
right.
and the players
right.
were really
that.
Getting into it. We got to see – we didn't get to see any team activity. I mean, you got to see some quarterbacks throwing to receivers and tight ends and mm-hmm. the backs and mm-hmm. some work on the mesh between quarterbacks and running backs. And then I spent more time looking at the offense today because I feel like there are more questions about it.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about the defense. I really want to see the defensive line. They were on the far side of the field, and we couldn't really get there.
Right.
So didn't get a chance to really take a good look at them. Looked at some of the offensive linemen. They look good on the hoof. I'm telling you that. It's a good looking group, and a couple of the guys who were really big last year. We got a roster today, but there are no changes from this past December.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, some of these guys' bodies have changed dramatically. Guys like Jacoby Ward, who was listed at 353, I believe, he is much leaner looking. So. But anyway, I mean, we'll talk a little bit about that, but that's how things got started this morning. Got Auburn baseball against Georgia Tech right now.
Yep.
And then first round NIT action tonight, late night at Neville again. So that'll be two games in a row at home that start at 9 o'clock with Auburn hosting South Alabama. And of course, Andy Burcham and, Randall Dickey will be bringing you all that action. That'll be over on Wings 94.3. 8:30 will be the pregame. And our good friend, the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, is going to join us in just a little while. Since the ball game is a 9 o'clock tip, they're getting a little practice in right now.
Hmm.
And Andy will check in with us. Yeah, it was interesting. We spent time with Stephen Pearl yesterday, and for the first time all year, practice was closed.
Mm, interesting.
There was going to be practice after that, and it was the first time. So I wonder, are there some surprises? I mean, because we asked Stephen yesterday, had any players decided to opt out, and he said, he hadn't seen the players since the NCAA selection show.
Which
was the night before.
That he makes said, sense.
But obviously a lot of players were upset, and he told them to sleep on it and said that he hadn't gotten any calls or texts saying that anyone would opt out. But, I mean, I guess we may have to wait until this evening when the team comes out to warm up to find out, you know, if everybody is there.
Yeah. The times we live, huh? At least he didn't get any calls from the campus police. Like some schools.
No, we've seen. Yeah, you're talking about the Aiden Holloway situation.
Ooh, man, that's a shame. I hate that for the kid. As you
get more information on that.
He's getting worse, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. When it's over 2 pounds of marijuana and scales included among the paraphernalia. Mm. Yeah, so, I mean, that clearly indicates an intent to distribute.
Yeah, that's a shame. Hate it for everybody, especially the young man. Just, I don't understand it. I mean, I'm sure he was making good money in the
NIL, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Come on. But anyway, won't be the first, won't be the last. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see who comes out tonight. Hopefully everybody. You know, I haven't heard anything either, not that I would, besides what you would hear about anybody opting out. But I was glad a lot of people ask me countries, what do you think about the NIT? And I said, I think it's great. I mean, if you're a coach and you're a player, I don't care what it is, you get a chance to play.
Yeah.
And that's why you're here, to play basketball, to play football. I mean, everybody was disappointed. But, man, what a great opportunity I'd just like to go play in that venue.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. What's one of the things Steven said is like, you know, hey, it's another ball game. He gets an opportunity.
Practice.
They got an opportunity to play another game.
Right.
Now you just hope the players feel that way.
Right. And what a great deal if you could go play where they have the finals. You know, it used to be in Madison Square Garden. Now I think it's in Butler Field House.
It's in Indy. Yeah. In Indy.
Wow. And, you know, in the old days, I can remember Kentucky – early, they turned down the NCAA to play in the NIT.
That's back before the deal. Yeah, before the NCAA tournament because it was much more prestigious to go to New York and win the NIT.
Yeah, than to go to that little old conference. What do they call it, the NCAA? Yeah, we want to go to the NIT. But, yeah, I'm glad. I would have hated for him. I think it reminds me of Notre Dame. Oh, we're not going to a bowl game or Oklahoma. We're not going to play. I think that's selfish. And as a coach, now that's me talking. And a player, former athlete, which I wasn't a very good one, but I always wanted to play.
Auburn baseball and Tech are underway, and Tech has already struck for a run. Leadoff walk off Dre Alvarez, a wild pickoff attempt, advanced the runner to second, and then a single with one out has plated the first run for Georgia Tech, and they're up 1-0. And again, this is the best hitting team in the nation. In Georgia Tech, they lead the nation in batting average. They lead the nation in slugging percentage. They have played 19 games, Don. They have two players that already have double-figure homers. They've got a player with 10 and another one with 11
home runs in 19 games. Good Lord.
Including Von Lackey is batting right now. He was the ACC player of the week last week, batting .600 with three homers. So, yeah. No, they've already played two series in the ACC. They're 4-2 in conference play.
Wow.
So we'll keep you updated on that. Two outs now in the top of the first. Runner at first and Auburn trailing 1-0. Tell you what, while we wait for Andy, why don't we let you hear? Have you got the Stephen Pearl? We'll get Stephen Pearl's time with the media from yesterday as we get ready for Auburn and South Alabama tonight over at Neville Arena. Again, there are tickets available, $25, and they're general admission. So, you know, you could get a pretty darn good seat.
Yeah.
If you get there early enough.
And I heard you say yesterday, Bill, on the show listening, if you don't have a chance to go, what a great time to go.
Oh, yeah. And if you don't have to wake up early in the morning.
Well,
or something.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, you can do that once. It's a tournament.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, and a lot of people watching Hoosiers this last couple of days, I heard on the radio, try to get in the get in the mood for NCAAs. What a great movie.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. All right, let's let you hear Stephen Pearl and some of his comments yesterday as the Tigers get ready for their first-round matchup. The number one overall seed gets ready for its first-round matchup against USA.
All right, busy day tomorrow. First day of spring football and, you know, Auburn baseball, top five showdown at 4 p.m. So would encourage fans to go check out baseball first, help get them a win, and then show up for another late one for the Tigers tomorrow night at 9 in Neville. So without taking questions.
Stephen, it's become more common for high majors to, when they don't make the NCAAs, to just turn down the NIT and move on. Why did you guys decide to keep on playing when, you know, so many teams in y'all's position are turning it down these days?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here to coach basketball. The guys on my roster are here to play basketball, and, you know, we're all here to compete. And, you know, I'm not going to duck away from it to go out there and prepare and compete and play basketball because that's what we're here to do. You know, I'm not all and go home because we didn't make the I just see it as an unbelievable opportunity for our guys to go out there and just compete on a stage. You know, most of our games will probably be on ESPN, you know, and there's a lot of people in college basketball that would love to be able to do that. And obviously our goal is to not play in the NIT. You know, our goal is playing the NCAA tournament, advance the NCAA tournament. But that didn't happen this year. And, you know, we have an opportunity to you know, go play in a tournament that's nationally televised and, you know, continue to play basketball for these next few weeks. So if we're able to advance. So I'm of the mindset of, like, let's just go play. Let's go hoop. And, you know, ultimately why I made the decision for us to play in the NIT.
Stephen, first high majors do play sometimes. There are some opt-outs. Are you guys going to be at full strength of the NIT? And I guess what was the reaction from the team of deciding to do this? Because in Nashville they talked about, hey, you know, don't want to go home, don't want to play their final game. I guess were they pretty fired up to still have an opportunity to play more basketball?
You know, I don't know about opt-outs yet because we visited last night after the selection show, and obviously everyone was upset for not having made the tournament. You know, told them to sleep on it, and you know, I'll be with them here in the next 30 minutes. So as of right now, anyone on my staff saying that they're not playing, but if that changes, obviously we'll let you guys know.
Yeah. How does this affect like just getting ready for the portal? How do you kind of merge and do these two things? You're going to be coaching a lot, portaling, getting ready for the portal. How do you do that?
Well, the portal doesn't open until after the Final Four. So if the portal is open now, that might have affected my decision. But like right now, like, you know, size and getting a roster of, you know, guys that we'd like to go after if they do intend to go in and watching film, there's not a whole lot we can do. We can do both of those things if we're playing home games in Auburn in the NIT. So I just felt like, you know, you can do both. And that's what we're going to do. So we've been actively preparing for this portal cycle for a few weeks now, and you know, really hard at work just getting things organized and, you know, identifying some of the positions that we'll need to fill for next year and looking at potential targets, you know, that, you know, if they do go in, we'll be evaluated the things that they do. And, you know, we've been obviously looking at the international market as far as players that are available from over there that we can currently be, you know, recruiting. We just feel like right now, you know, we're able to do both, so that's what we're going to do.
South plays looks like a pretty funky kind of zone, but he shoots more saw more threes than they did this season. Just talk about that matchup, and just it's a very different kind of defense than what y'all have been seeing really the last few months.
Yeah, it's got some Merrimack tendencies to it, and just with the activity and how much they fly around, they lead their conference in turnovers forced, and they do a great job of taking away some of the things that, you know, I post, they're all collapsing. They want you to, and, you know, that's, you know, we got to find certain spots on the floor that we can, whether it's 2-3 or 1-3-1, they're going to try and junk it up and keep you off balance as best they can. And they do.
Offensive end, their best, you know, they had the Sun Belt Player of the Year, 6'6". Point guard who doesn't shoot a lot, but he scores a ton. You know, just the challenge is kind of matching him up, and the guys they put around him seems like they got some catch and shoot guys that they like to use around him.
Yeah, he's big and physical, and, you know, he plays bully ball. You know, he gets to the rim, does a great job of finishing through contact. So he does have of getting to the free throw line, and you know, he's surrounded by some really good shooters. You know, one of the best shooters in the country. He's made like 102 threes this year. So, you know, they and then they have two other guys that can really shoot it out there. So I mean, they were a share of the conference title in their last game at home, and they ultimately weren't able to win that game. But he's done a great job this year with this group. And I know they're going to be really excited about this game. So our guys are going to have to get up for it because, you know, we're going to have our hands full because they play an interesting style. They have two, you know, high major players on their roster. And, you know, our guys got to be, you know, ready because they're going to be coming in here with their hair on fire, you know, trying to knock us off.
Coach, is this the same style defense that you saw from South 7 years ago when you guys played down there? Were they playing that much zone at that point?
8 years ago in the COVID game, running that zone a good bit. I haven't had time to look back. I've watched three of their games from this year. I haven't been able to watch our two games from, but I know my staff has. So there's definitely some similarities from the clips I saw today of the zone that they were running. You know, when we played them, COVID year, and then Isaac's first year.
You mentioned how, you know, excited South Alabama would be for a game like this. How do you get this group to go, you know, quickly turn the page from the disappointment of not making the tournament Sunday to now, you know, 2 days later, you've got a, you know, chance to keep playing against a team that is going to come in fired up?
Yeah, I'm prepared, and I'm going to do, you know, the things I always do to try and get our guys motivated to play. And it's on us as coaches, but also as players, you know, to continue to have joy in playing basketball. You know, it's another opportunity to go out there and compete. And, you know, that's got to be all you need to get excited. And you're playing at home, you know, for what else I need to say to them in order to get them going. You know, it's a nationally televised game against a team that's in our state at home in a national tournament, you know. So, you know, just that should be all the motivation they need to go out there and play and compete.
How much does it help that most of your guys on the roster could come back next season? Like, you only have two seniors, and how much this could be pretty beneficial when you talk about trying to look ahead to next year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of the decision is trying to be around the guys that, you know, we'd love to keep in this program and have another couple weeks of practice with them, you know, try and finish it up, and, you know, continue to try and make their own history because, you know, even though we're 17-16, this team's done a lot of really good things this year, and, you know, let's try and add to it, so. That's part of it too, is, you know, being around the guys that we want to come back next year for, you know, hopefully another week or two.
Hard-edged question here. Are you going to continue wearing the jacket? Is that something you think will be a permanent addition?
I don't know. It's a good question, JG. Do you like it?
My wife's a huge fan of it.
Wife's a huge fan of it. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I was doing that, you know, back in like 2018, 19, when we were, you know, still dressing up. And one of the best compliments I got was from Roy Williams after we beat him in the Sweet 16. He said, "Nice jacket, man." And he was like the original, like, slack blazer guy. That was his thing. He was one of them, as far as, you know. So, yeah, I was doing it a while ago, but, you know, it's, we'll see.
Steven, you've mentioned this defense wanting to continue to evolve and get better over the course of the season. You had one of your best defensive games of the year, really good half against Tennessee. Anything you learn? I don't know if you had too much time to go back on that film yet. Anything you've learned on defense that maybe you can take and use in this, trying to make a run in the NIT?
Yeah, the Mississippi State game, like, you know, we were really good. And we did some things that, like, we hadn't done all year, which I, you know, kind of was surprised a little bit with how well we took to it. The first half of the Tennessee game was, you know, that was impressive, like – you know, we trapped every ball screen and just, like, made those bigs make plays. And, like, we did a great job with it. In the second half, they made the adjustment and didn't run any ball screens. But, you know, I thought our guys, you know, did a lot of really good things. So, yeah, that may be something that this team is better at than, you know, what we're typically used to doing. But, you know, we'll mix up our coverages and we'll do a little bit of it. But, you know, I thought those were two of our better defensive efforts, you know, of the year in the SEC tournament. I think that's something that we can build off of.
Stephen Pearl, who met with the media yesterday, of course. Again, 9 o'clock tonight, 8:30 is the pregame over on Wings 94.3. Auburn batting bottom one over at Plainsman Park on a beautiful day, and I'm glad they moved this one up. I mean,
yeah,
for the folks that are I would like to be there. I've been at most of the ball games yeah. here at home. Tough to do when we're doing the show. But one run is all Andreas Alvarez gave up. Dre struck out the side, walked two, gave up a base hit. Auburn batting in the bottom of the first. Chase Frelick has doubled off the green monster, and Bub Terrell batting as Auburn looking to try to tie this ball game in the bottom of the first. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Love for you to join us, 334-321-1390. Again, Andy Burcham will join us when he gets done watching Auburn's pregame workout. But in the meantime, give us a call on the Drive Hotline as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. We thought Dan would join us yesterday, but, you know, we talked a little last week about some of the difficulties that folks are having trying to fly and get flights.
It's ridiculous.
Well, not just get flights, hope that they go off as scheduled.
Yeah.
And more cancellations, you know, all across the country. But especially, it seems like, you know, regarding Atlanta, which is one of the busiest airports, Hartsfield is one of the busiest airports in the world. And Dan made it out. Dan and his folks made it out to his brother's wedding just fine, but then their flight back was canceled, and I believe he said they drove from Dallas. Saw Dan for a few minutes this morning. He was able to make it out for a little bit of the viewing time that we had for football practice this morning, and his plans at that time were he'd be in today because they were planning on flying out tonight. But they moved changed their plans, moved it up, and Troy picked Dan up in Auburn as we were coming on the air. So hopefully we'll see him next week. Hopefully they get out there to Kansas on time. Troy is at Kansas to get things started in the Women's Invitational Tournament. All right, in baseball over at Plainsman Park, Auburn has tied it up. Back-to-back doubles by Chase Frelick and Bub Terrell. And now with two outs, have runners at first and second looking to take the lead here in the bottom of the first as this ball game, even though it matched a pair of pitchers, Dre Alvarez came in with a 1.37 ERA, and the starting pitcher for Georgia Tech, Dimitri Angelikos, or Angelikos, I'm not sure if it's Angelikos or Angelikos or Angelikos, he is a redshirt freshman who came in with a 1.38 ERA. Both those ERAs have gone up a little bit by giving up a run in the first inning. But, I mean, Georgia Tech, as I said, the best hitting team in the nation. Auburn is statistically the best pitching team in the country. Auburn leads the nation in ERA and in whip and has a ridiculous strikeout-to-walk ratio. And it wasn't, it was three strikeouts in the first inning for Alvarez, but two walks. And that ended up resulting in a run as a leadoff walk. I don't know how many times you see it. A leadoff walk almost invariably leads to a run. But we'll keep you updated there. It's 1-1, bottom one, over at Plainsman Park. It is the first four gets underway tonight.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I mean, the NCAA tournament getting started. Now, I know everybody doing brackets, you generally, you know, you've got till Thursday. They'll give you the first four, which we used to call, and they really don't like to hear, play-in, but that's pretty much what they are. The play-in, the play-in games, first four tonight. The first game will get underway. Is this this Central Time, 5:40? In Dayton, or is it 4:40? I think it's 5:40. Yeah, I think that is our time. So UMBC will take on Howard, that to determine a 16 seed, and then a matchup between a couple of teams that Auburn beat this year.
Yeah,
the 11 play-in game between Texas and NC State to follow. So those are your first two games of the NCAA tournament coming up this evening.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Bill, how long have they been doing this play-in games. About 10
it's
years.
Been 68 teams for, yeah, I'd say a decade.
Yeah, I always wondered about that. A couple of years ago, didn't UCLA go all
yes,
the way
to UCLA
the Final
made
four?
It all the way to the Final Four from the first game. Four. Yeah. First four to Final Four.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, I'll tell you what, let's get to our bottom of the hour break because we're going to be joined by the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. When we come back, stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're pleased to be joined now by the voice of the Tigers, of the Auburn Tigers. That is Andy Burcham, who is preparing for tonight's NIT opener against South Alabama. Andy, how are you doing today?
Bill, Don, I'm doing very well. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday. Auburn just wrapped up its pregame shoot-around, and now getting ready. Got the baseball game on the monitor over here watching over Plainsman Park, and now gearing up for Auburn and South Alabama tonight in the first round of the NIT.
Yeah, so you opted out of doing the baseball-basketball doubleheader.
I did. There's too much work that we do pregame here yeah. for basketball that would conflict with baseball. So, Brad and Jason, that outstanding duo, on that, I will get the game Friday. I'll get Auburn game one of Auburn in Texas.
You'll
Friday
get
Friday at Plainsman Park. Really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, you'll get to one up the highest ranked matchup ever in Plainsman Park history, which is going on right now, which is crazy, isn't it?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. 1-1 is the score. They're going to the bottom half of the second over at Plainsman Park on a rather chilly Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, it's beautiful. There's not a cloud in the sky, but it is. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was at the ballpark for a little while, went by, hadn't been able to take advantage of any of the promotions today, and learned that a daughter-in-law really would like to have one of the green crew neck shirts that were being given away today.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you what.
That's right, for St. Patty's Day.
In the shade. It is really, really cold. So it's good, yeah. Good move on you know, both counts. The fact of, because of the weather and because of the basketball game being at 9 o'clock to move the game to four.
Well, yes, another 9 o'clock start here.
Golly,
thank you to ESPN 2.
Oh yeah.
So
back to back home games at 9, that, right?
Be interesting to see how that affects the crowd tonight.
Yeah. Now. Hopefully, you know, an opportunity for folks that weren't able to get to ball games this year because season tickets have been sold out for years. Great opportunity with the $25 general admission tickets and then $75 premium tickets.
My wife and brother and sister-in-law bought some of the premium tickets that they wouldn't typically have a chance to get. So they're looking forward to a nice meal upstairs and really good seats for this one tonight between Auburn and South Alabama. First time these two teams have played, Bill, since 2020, the COVID year.
Yep.
And in that game, Auburn made a school record 22 threes in a 90-81 win for the Tigers that night. And then my first year, Bill, I think it was my first road game of the season. My first road game as the voice, we played at South Alabama at the Mitchell Center, and they had a capacity crowd of 10,000. And Isaac Okoro with a basket in the last second and a half
thriller
to win that ball game. Mm-hmm. So these games with South Alabama, although Auburn has dominated the series of late, have been really good basketball games. And I expect another one here tonight. There's a lot of Alabama players on this team from South Alabama. It's an opportunity for this South Alabama team. Listen, they went into the final game of the regular season with a chance to win a share of the regular season championship in the Sun Belt. Got beat by Southern Miss. And then upset in the first round of the Sun Belt tournament against Georgia Southern. So I guarantee you this South Alabama ball club comes in very, very with its hair on fire to get at Auburn tonight, the number one seed in the tournament.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it means so much to them. Auburn is the number one overall seed in the NIT. And you mentioned Auburn hitting 20-plus threes. They're probably going to get that opportunity tonight because of the way South Alabama plays defense.
it's amazing. This team gives up on an average of 38 three-point attempts per game, Bill, because they play this true three zone. They fill the gaps, and they're fine with you shooting threes. They're fine with that. And with guys like Dahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton, Elijah Freeman, okay, Keyshawn Hall, all right. Auburn may take some shots at threes, but I do think Auburn still is going to try to get the ball on the inside. Auburn's a bigger basketball team than South Alabama.
Yeah, I would think that's one of the reasons they do that, try to pack it inside as much, as because they don't have as much size as Auburn does. So it's going to be contrasting styles without question. Was that Logan Gregorio that just hit his first homer? Auburn homer? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Off the Performance Center and right, and Cade Ballou with a seeing eye single up the middle. So a runner at first, one out. Auburn on top of Georgia Tech, 2-1.
These both pitchers came in, even though they're not weekend starters, with really, really good numbers. But both these teams can really swing it. I mean, Georgia Tech statistically is the best hitting team in the country, but I really like the Auburn lineup as well. I mean, I think it's going to take more than two to win this one.
Well, I was talking with Butch Thompson. We recorded this week in Auburn baseball this morning. And he and I have talked about in previous episodes of that podcast just the depth that this team has, and it's going to be a little bit tested now.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn's got a couple guys that are not playing at this point, and so Auburn right now is, and I think that's one of the reasons that we see Cade Ballou in the lineup today for the Tigers. We saw Clay play so very well at Missouri, as he came in for an injured Eric Guevara on the weekend, and he's back in the lineup today for the Tigers. So Auburn's getting some getting the depth tested, but it's good to have that depth when you play a team like Georgia Tech. I mean, imagine where you'd be without a Todd Clay or a Cade Ballou or a Gregorio that you don't have the ability to go to. And we've already seen what the bottom third of that order has done. Gregorio with a leadoff home run here in the bottom of the second, and a one-out single by Ballou, and he's at first.
Yeah, we'll talk.
And Bill Rembert just took one, a two-run shot over the monster and left.
Oh, wow.
It's 4-1 Auburn. First pitch to Rembert.
Right after the visit at the mound, because that's what we're seeing
indeed.
So
4-1 Auburn. There we go.
Yeah, maybe a quick trip back to the mound for Georgia Tech. So I told you it was going to take more than two to win this one. I didn't think that was such a bold prediction. But hopefully everybody stays bundled up and enjoys this, and that this one just moves on. But I mean, what a great opportunity here, and for a midweek ball game like this. Oh yeah, I see it. That's a bomb.
Just think about the week.
Oh,
Bill,
yeah.
I mean, you and I have been around this for a long time. You've been around it longer than I. But this is my 32nd year doing baseball at Auburn. I don't recall a week where Auburn was at home as a top five team, and where you have two ranked teams like this coming in for a midweek game and then a three-game series on the weekend. I don't recall it like this.
No, the closest thing I can recall was back in – it was either the World Series year of 76 or right along in there.
Well, and by the way, that team will be honored this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will. Saturday, I believe, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had a chance to talk about this at all, Bill. I mean, we're just going in all kinds of directions here today. I know that Butch Thompson and Gabe Gross and I think Jason Caldwell – had an opportunity to talk, speaking of Auburn baseball history,
with Brother Man
this weekend, in Columbia. And I know he is going through some very serious,
really tough times.
Health issues right now, but I know that they had a great time getting to talk to Brother. He was there for batting practice one day.
Yeah.
And just had a chance. Butch said he put Brother Man right behind the plate with Gabe to analyze Auburn swings during BP.
Oh, that's cool.
I think that was on Saturday. So it was good. I know it was good for them to see Brother Man.
Well, you know, he was a catcher for his brother Joe, so.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know. I had no idea what position that Bill – here's my – there's so many stories with Brotherman, but one year, going to the SEC tournament, he needed a ride to Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, and I got to be honest, I got to be a little bit honest, I was a little reluctant because, I don't know, that was my mistake. But for 2.5 hours, I got the history lesson of growing up in Auburn, Alabama,
right,
from Brotherman. It was a fascinating time to sit and talk with him about growing up in Auburn, and of course his father and his brother and his mother, and I'm sure glad I got that opportunity to spend some time with Brotherman that day.
Oh yeah, no. It is an experience. There's no question about that. I've known him since we were in school together. So and worked in radio together. Yeah, but yeah, it's great that he was there. He's out there in Missouri and able to make that for the weekend. So yeah, you know, his little brother Joe was, we were talking about it a couple of days ago, that sort of, when you asked me about that, I remember Clemson coming in for a midweek, and then there was may have been Mississippi State or somebody like that. That's the closest, but I don't think the teams were nearly as highly ranked as we're seeing this week. So, yeah, it's great to see Auburn baseball performing at this level and being able to, you know, take on this type of competition. And it's, you know, you're not gonna go 54-2 or anything in college baseball, especially in the SEC. But I think Auburn, if they can stay healthy, they can be, you know, as you know, competitive as anybody in this league for the conference championship.
That has always been the issue. That has always been the issue. It's not that Auburn didn't have the talent. Certainly, it's had the coaching. It's had outstanding support, and none better than what we saw last year in what is the new Sanford Stadium, Hiscock Field, of Plainsman Park. But if Auburn can stay relatively healthy, I think this team is geared up for a run.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of this season. I just do.
I don't see a weakness right now. I mean, you know, you'd love to have, you know, a lights out closer. Auburn's got a couple of guys that can do it, and Garrett Brewer and Ryan Hetzler, and there's been a hiccup or two, but that's about it. And I mean, again, it's just stay healthy, and this team is deeper than any that I can recall.
I agree. And think about this roster and how many freshmen and sophomores
relying
on.
Like, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's really fun to. Here's one. I still feel like this is more along the lines of the way it used to be, because I think it's more likely that guys that are producing and having success here at Auburn baseball, I think they're less likely to leave than you see in football and basketball.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Bill. I mean, Auburn was one of those teams that did not have the Hope scholarship. Mm-hmm. There's another base hit for Frelick into right center field. He's going to go for second, and he's going to get there with a double. Just give you a little play-by-play here. But Auburn's hitting the ball. But
yeah, they are.
I'm trying to remember where I was going with this. I completely got off track with this ball club.
I was talking about players sticking around more for baseball now than other sports.
So Auburn, you know, Auburn did not have the Hope scholarship or any of the, you know, what a lot of the surrounding states have. And so Auburn was that 11-point-whatever scholarship that they're trying to parcel out. I mean, think about the success that this program has had when it was really shorthanded as far as scholarships are concerned with other schools in the Southeastern Conference. Now Auburn's on par with everybody else. It's a fully funded school. It's a fully funded program. You have the NIL for these players. And think about, just take a look at the last two recruiting classes, Bill.
Yeah.
Outstanding recruiting classes for Auburn that did not lose anyone to the Major League Baseball draft. And now these are the freshmen and the sophomore that are contributing right now with this Auburn ball club.
Oh, it is really exciting, and it's not. There have been times when Auburn didn't lose anybody to the Major League draft, but it's because they didn't take chances on signing anyone who might be drafted early.
That's exactly right. That is no longer the case.
No, not indeed, not at all. Back to basketball, Andy. I mean, what is your feel for this team's attitude mentally as they head into tonight? That's a concern for a lot of folks.
Yeah, I understand, and I understand that. And listen, Auburn's made no bones about it, that Auburn's disappointed to be playing in the NIT and not the NCAA tournament. I don't think Auburn's disappointed to be playing ball tonight, but I think it certainly is disappointing. I think we would want this team to be disappointed that sure. It did not make the NCAA tournament, and I understand that. But I think this team is excited about playing this game tonight. As you were there yesterday. And I thought what Stephen Pearl said at the start of that press conference yesterday was, listen, I'm a basketball coach. I'm going to coach a ball game tomorrow. These are basketball players. It's a chance for them to compete. And it's a chance, you know, I mean, there's some other schools, Oklahoma, Indiana, decided not to play in this tournament. All right,
Florida State.
This ball club wants to play in this tournament. Now, listen, what happens in this ball game tonight, I don't know. Because the NIT can be, you know, you see some wild games in games that make no sense with regard to the seedings and that type of thing. I will take nothing for granted with South Alabama coming to town here tonight. But I think this is a motivated ball club getting ready to play this ball game tonight.
What a day it has been. You know, it's thus far it's been pretty enjoyable watching football practice this morning, watching the start of this the baseball game, and then basketball tonight. Andy, it's a busy time. Let everybody know what's coming up as far as the Auburn Sports Network's concerned.
Well, the Talking Tigers podcast is the first part of a 2-part interview with Andrew Warsaw, Auburn's general manager for football. An interesting path to Auburn that included a stint as the director of operations for the NFL. And think about all of the events that take place in the NFL. Super Bowl Sunday, the Pro Bowl, the draft, the combine, a game, every game, whether it's in this country or out, that was his responsibility. He is now, of course, the GM for Auburn, and I think it's a different role as GM than it has been in the past. And he kind of explains that. This is part one. Part two will drop on Monday. We will be back at Baumhauer's for Tiger Talk Thursday night. Stephen Pearl set to be with us. Gabe Gross will join us. We'll also talk some track and field with Auburn's outstanding hurdler, Jacoby Tharp, who is as good as there is in college track and field right now. Just won the indoor track and field of 60-meter hurdles. And so we're going to talk with Jacoby on Tiger Talk Thursday night. And then Friday, it's Auburn baseball against Texas at 6 as the Tigers and the Longhorns open that series. If Auburn is fortunate enough to win tonight, Auburn will play either Saturday or Sunday in the second round of the NIT here at Neville Arena. We will know the opponent because Seattle plays host to St. Thomas of Minnesota tonight. They're playing at the same time as Auburn in South Alabama. We will not know when that game will be played, what time, until after tomorrow night's other first round games in the NIT. And so we'll be doing double duty, hopefully this weekend, between basketball and baseball as well.
Looking forward to it, Andy. Always great. We appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. Looking forward to an outstanding broadcast of a late night basketball tonight.
I've already got a monster drink right in front of me. So, Don, it's awful good to hear from you.
Yes, sir, buddy. Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks again, Andy.
Thank you very much. Guys, have a great one. War Eagle.
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does on Tuesdays. Yes, 8:30 is the airtime. 9 o'clock tip tonight over on Wings 94.3. You can tune in there, and then you can watch it while you listen. Get it synced up, though. It's not that difficult to do. All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one. As Andy said, the Chris Rembert homer adding to Auburn's lead. It is 4-1. As they go to the top of the third over at Plainsman Park. We're right back here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Tuesday Drive, our thanks to Andy Burcham joining us here in hour number one. Don't forget, Jake Crane will join us at the bottom of hour number two. In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you, but we also have some audio from Alex Golish and Auburn's new starting quarterback, Byron Brown, that if we get an opportunity, we'll play for you in hour number two, which is coming up here on The Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online.
online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. A busy, busy day here in Auburn as far as Auburn athletics is concerned. First day of spring football practice this morning. We got a chance to watch about a half an hour of that. I'll talk a little bit about some of the things we saw here in a couple of minutes. Auburn baseball is going on right now, a top five matchup against Georgia Tech. And Dre Alvarez, after getting off to a bit of a rocky start, has settled in. He's now pitched three innings, given up two hits and a couple of walks, struck out five, and allowed an unearned run. The run was unearned because he walked the leadoff batter, made a wild pickoff attempt. And that runner came in to score on a single. He allowed another walk, but that would not have been if he hadn't been picked off. Then the runner would have,
been at third.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but in the meantime, the Auburn bats. Auburn's been hitting the ball well. I mean, even the outs are hard hit. Chris Rembert with a two-run homer. Logan Gregorio with a solo homer, and Auburn leading at 4-1. As they bat in the bottom of the third over at Chili Plainsman Park.
Yeah, I see a lot of jackets and
parkas. You bet a lot of blankets, I guarantee you that.
And there's probably some undergarments, too.
Oh, yeah. And then it's going to be another chilly one tonight, but, of course, we're inside at Neville Arena for round one of the NIT. Auburn, the number one overall seed in the NIT, hosting South Alabama. A South Alabama team that coming in, we didn't really get into it as much with specifics with Andy. They've got a couple of really interesting players. They're not a very big team. I think they only have a couple of guys over 6'7 on the entire roster. Mm-hmm. But they're led by 6'6 point guard Chase Harris. His name is spelled C-H-A-Z-E, but Andy yesterday let everybody know that's the correct pronunciation. I mean, he's going to make sure he had it right. Chase Harris.
Player of the year in the conference.
Player of the year.
Sun Belt.
And a guy that averaged nearly 19 points a game by hardly ever taking a three.
Wow.
A guard that has taken just 23 three-point attempts all year long, scores at the rim. One of the highest percentage of buckets at the rim of any player in the nation, and he's a point guard.
He shoots 54% from the field, it says here, Bill.
Yeah.
And like you said, he's only taken 23 three-pointers.
He's only hit three. He's three of 23.
Sounds
that's
like me.
That's why he's only taken 23. On the other hand, they've got another guard in Adam Olson who has hit 102 threes. He's shooting right at 40%. He's 102 of 259 in threes. So he's averaging taking better than eight threes per game, and he makes about, three to four game.
They must be really disciplined because looking at this little sheet I have here, it says that they only committed 12.7 fouls per game, which leads the nation.
Yeah, what they do, and that's Ted, some of Ted Feely's great notes that he gives us each week.
Yeah.
What it is, Don, is they pack it in. They play a packed-in zone 2-3 or a 1-3-1, and they just say, shoot threes, but they're going to make it very, very difficult for you to try to get it inside, and as a result, they don't foul very much.
Yeah.
Now,
and they protect the ball, third in turnovers in the country.
Yeah, I mean, they're very highly ranked in some odd.
Weird. But yet they
allow the most three-point attempts. Yeah. Andy did mention that. Yeah. They allow the most three-point attempts of any team in
the
country.
And they're not a good foul-shooting team.
Crazy.
You never know, like Andy said, what to expect.
No.
In these games, they'll play. This is their Super Bowl, buddy.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't think it isn't. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, back to the first day of spring football. I mean, the first day that we were able to watch today.
Right.
I mean, it didn't look like a first day.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the tempo, the intensity that there was, and I was focused more on the offense today because mm-hmm. the defense was over
right.
On the other side. But I also wanted to see what some of these guys, there's so many new players on offense.
Yeah, a bunch.
Watch Byron Brown. Byron Brown has got
– He looks good.
He's got sort of a sidearm, almost like a shortstop kind mm-hmm. of throw, the kind of thing that, you know, you'll hear some NFL people critique that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there have been some quarterbacks that we've talked about, one from this state that had a little bit of a funky arm motion. I'm going to tell you what, though, the ball comes out of Byron's hands – quickly and gets there.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the ball being where it needed to be, and I mean right as a receiver's making a break and turning, and bam, the ball's right there.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed with that. I really was impressed with the receivers today.
Someone else mentioned that. They look physical, they said.
They're big, they're physical, they're fast, and they catch the ball with their – I mean
– Both hands.
It's crazy. Catch it with their hands. Sure, they catch it with their hands, but, I mean, away from the body.
Right.
They're not, you know, bringing it in, trying to protect it against their chest.
Off. Yeah.
No, I mean, Koger, Singleton, Nimrod. I mean, these are big, healthy-looking fellows. And I thought for Auburn, the Smith brothers, Duke and Eric,
mm-hmm.
are definitely thicker than they were a year ago. But, it is a deep receiving core that looks like they're already very much on the same page with Byron Brown.
Yeah, I saw a little video throughout the day. The thing impressed me, and like you said, being there, whenever you have a practice where there's tempo and there's people moving – and there's not a lot of standing around and coaches looking at their notes and stuff, that tells me they're organized, they rehearsed some of this, and that head guy is not going to let you stand around with your hands in your pocket.
No.
I learned that from Johnny Majors. If you wanted to get your butt chewed when I was a graduate assistant, two things. You never stood around. Well, really three things. You never stood around. You never had your hands in your pocket, no matter what the temperature was. And he could not stand the coach wearing sunglasses. For some reason, that was his pet peeve. But, you know, you got to wear sunglasses, some guys.
Sometimes, but you got to be able to see.
I never did because I think I was scared he'd come and get me wherever I was. But I'm impressed with what I saw on the tape, the tempo, the coaches were intermingling with their players. How many times have you gone to practice, all the coaches over here standing around talking to each other?
Mm-hmm.
That would get your butt chewed, too.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to – these guys are like your sons. You got to get to know them, encourage them. And they're scared to death, too. They're got so much anxiety that first day. You know, it's fun to joke around and hug them and pat them and then coach them hard. And I'm excited about this staff. And I don't know – I know one or two of them
right.
from the past. But I'm impressed with them.
Yeah.
I could be dead wrong, but I don't think
it was
so.
Let me tell you, it was a fun first day of practice. After practice, we had a chance to talk with Alex Golish and Byron Brown. And we've got a little of that audio. I thought we'd let you go ahead and hear some of that as we continue here on the Tuesday Drive.
Obviously did a ton for this league, but became a dear friend from my time at Tennessee and talk about guys that changed the way offensive football is played. So congrats to him on his retirement. I told him I'd see him here at some point myself. So he's been really, really good to me, even just in my time here. Huge day on campus today. We got big-time baseball game tonight, top five game, and then obviously the NIT tonight kicks off here, which is awesome. Day one of spring practice. Man, I thought intent, what I just told these guys, intent, awesome. Energy, awesome. It's been a fun group to coach here through these first almost 4 months here. They bought in quickly. They've done what we've asked them to do collectively. They've tried to come together. I think that's the hardest thing to do right now in college football is bring a team together and the connection piece. I was really curious to see what practice would look like because it's all good until you get out here and you get going. Went inside today, ground's just slippery. It wasn't the cold, just so everybody factually gets that. The cold doesn't scare anybody, but we went inside. I thought energy, enthusiasm was really good. I thought as it went and got some tempo going, it got a little bit sloppy at the end. That's the part that we got to coach through is that it never gets sloppy. The intent's the same all the way through. But for the most part, I was really pleased with how it went. So I'll open it up to questions.
Alex, maybe 5-6 years ago, you might have 55 guys out here for spring. How's it different now that you almost have a full roster and can maybe do more 11-on-11 or whatever you could do extra?
Yeah, I mean, we were able to go three groups today, and you've got three deep. Different, there's I think five guys that still haven't graduated, so we'll add those, potentially some late guys here at the end. But you do, it's awesome going into spring. One, there's no spring portal window. That changes the game. But two, most of your freshmen are here. I think it's huge. You get get to work with the guys that are going to be playing in the fall right now, so it's obviously big.
Injury-wise, is there anybody who you guys are not expecting to have at all this spring?
You know, Champ Anthony's coming back from surgery. He's in return to play protocol. I think we're probably guarded there with letting him get back. It'd be awesome to have him. He's such a vocal leader back there. He truly is the pulse of that secondary. Now he's you can hear him from just about anywhere. But he's working really hard to get back. Stanton Ramil is working off of an off-season surgery. He's trying to get back here this spring. Another one that I think we're just really careful with and trying to be really smart with. We had a couple guys that were out here for just the beginning piece. We had probably three guys coming back from off-season shoulders. Jonathan Eccles will do some non-contact stuff here as we go. But I guess five guys that are truly, hopefully at the end, you'll get them in some 7-on-7 type stuff just so that they can get used to the scheme combined with the tempo piece. But nothing catastrophic.
How much do you see the impact of bringing guys from South Florida that know the system in? How much have you seen an impact already as, you know, first day, but it's the first day with some guys that are familiar with what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I think today, huge. It's the first time you really got out there just because you can operate. Usually, first days, this is what my third time, I guess, offensively, that first group is you're still trying to figure out how this all goes, and we're unique offensively, so that part is tough, but the centerpiece is huge to be able to operate, obviously the quarterback, but the skill guys, and I think more impressive than just the guys themselves, they're bringing the other guys in those rooms along with them, and there's some young guys that stepped up that are certainly not South Florida guys, but it's been huge. You saw it offensively today for sure.
Alex, whether it's daily or weekly, when you're going through spring camp, how are you? What are you looking at objectively, subjectively, in terms of figuring out are we making progress or not? Are we on track or not? Like, what do you look for?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the first piece is big picture, how you practice, just operationally, how you come out and what your expectations are. I told the coaches yesterday, as another reminder, like what you allow becomes your culture. Like truly what you allow to happen is at the end of the day what your culture is. So make sure whatever we're doing, from the way we look to the way we walk out here to the energy that we take the field with, to how we run off the field, on the field, like whatever we allow from the very beginning becomes the culture of your program. It's really hard to change as you go. I think I've been more cognizant of that than anything else. Truly, like we spent 40 minutes Sunday night and then another 30 minutes Monday morning on this is what you wear, this is the expectation of when you get here, what you do when you walk in this building, when you eat, hydration test, tape, weigh in, all of that process. It's all brand new and nothing can slip. I mean, that truly becomes the culture of your program. Now, how we practice and how we get after each other, that becomes the identity of our program. And we've been, for the last month, all we've talked about is this is what we want our identity to be and involve the players in it. I think that's the biggest thing, is you're building your identity. I know what I want it to be, but I can't play. Obviously, if I did, we'd have big problems. And so you're trying to get these guys to truly be the drivers of that identity. And as you look day to day, man, are guys practicing the way you want them to? Are they taking care of each other? Something as simple as staying up. You know, like, guys get tired as practice goes and start seeing bodies on the ground. Are more guys staying up? Are more guys able to manage that piece of it? But effort, you want it to climb as you go. Day one's easy because everybody's trying to impress. And I think as roles kind of define themselves, you start seeing attitudes come out, positive or negative. And I think you evaluate it by, do they continue to grow closer, or does it become a team that starts to get split? Does the effort continue to get better and better and better? Are we getting better technically and tactically at the same time? And every day is individual. It's unique in spring because you got a day in between, so you can truly fine-tooth comb all of it. But you're looking at effort, the technical side, the tactical side. Are we getting better every single day? And through these first 8 days, there's so much install, so you see guys still thinking a bunch. You want those last 7 days, including A-Day, to look really crisp on both sides of the ball. And I think until you start to tackle and get into pads, it's all evaluated, but it doesn't get real until you get people on the ground. And so you just want the level to continue to get better and better and better, and that consistency with the identity piece and the culture piece to be consistent throughout the camp, and that's how you evaluate it.
You were a tight ends coach for a while, and obviously I saw today that you were with those guys while we were out here. So just first impressions of that group, y'all got a lot of different type of guys in there. What did you see from them kind of early on?
Yeah, I think that group, man, when we got here, if I heard it from one person, I heard it from everybody, man, like we have to get better. We went out. It is a really, really diverse group of guys. You know, Jake Johnson's kind of the old grizzled vet. Been a minute since we've had a guy that's got a little bald spot coming in. He's played a lot. Nothing wrong with bald spots, but I mess with him, so he's good with it. But you got a guy in there that was a former quarterback that we're teaching how to play tight end. You got a guy in our list that played a ton as a freshman and sophomore in this league and then hadn't played in a year. He's got a unique skill set. You got Jonathan Echols, who's limited right now, that has played in this system, that's got a unique skill set. Tight end is such a developmental position. It's super early right now, but it is a diverse group and a group that's played a ton of football. That group's got to be really good for us to offensively be where we want to be. But I naturally venture off over there. One, I really enjoy watching Coach Scott coach and Coach Taylor with him. But that naturally is where I end up. And those guys have so much to do with the offense, the run game, the pass game. It's a critical group for us and a group that's got to show up.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all being here.
Alex Golish, following today's first day of practice. They'll practice again Thursday. They're going to go three times a week for 5 weeks. Go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. That way, as he was saying, you know, they've got a day in between, a day to evaluate and, you know, be able to try to correct anything that they want to in between practices.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to have the day in between. There's no hurry. We got plenty of time. I've been at places where we went 20, back in the old days, 20 days. Remember, Bill?
Yeah.
20 days in a row. When I was at Tennessee, I think we went 20 straight days, and all but one, I think, was on that old nasty turf at Neyland Stadium. And I don't know how those kids survived, but that gives you a chance to evaluate. It gives you a chance to be able to coach and correct. You know, when you're going every day, you know, you're in such a speed-up hurry, like during the season, you don't have a lot of time to evaluate and teach and coach and fundamentals and all that stuff. I think it's a good idea to spread it out.
Yeah, as he was saying, I mean, you know, the first seven or eight practices are mostly installs.
Right.
And then they you know, want to have time after that
right.
to try to really fine-tune things, know what they can do, and do the things they do the best.
Right. They'll install, like you said, then they'll probably take a day where they don't install, and then they'll go back and self-scout, which is so important. You know, what do we do good? What do we do bad? And they have an agenda of what they want to get in, what they want to see, and what they want to get accomplished going into the summer. And then the nice thing about summer, all those kids will be here. They'll get bigger, better, stronger. The coaches can work with them for certain days, which we could not. And, yeah, it's an exciting time, and I really like this guy. And, again, I could be dead wrong, but I think he's a football coach.
And, you know, it's a little different this year, as Brian asked him there at the beginning. I mean, you've got basically a full roster that you're practicing right now. You got 90 players, 90 scholarship players are out there right now. We'll run down the injuries. Yeah. There are a few guys that are banged up, but as he said, nobody that looks like they're out for the fall. Yeah. I mean, some guys going to be limited this spring, but there are only five players left to come in before the fall, unless Auburn finds somebody else. Right. Now, here's something to keep in mind. Did see a note that the top unsigned player from the portal is going to visit Auburn at the end of the month, and he is an edge rusher.
I saw that.
So, I mean, there are still a few players that stayed in school, that entered the portal in time, that could still sign. So, I mean, Auburn's got room. They still have room to be able to add players. And man, if you can get another pass rusher, you take him in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, a guy like that, highly ranked, it's not going to matter that much. I mean, you'd love to have him here now, but it's not going to matter that much if he comes in the summer. But, a lot of excitement, a lot of enthusiasm. Let's just keep getting better, run the ball and stop the run. And before you know it, we'll be talking about football in the fall.
Oh, yeah. All right. We'll give you an update on baseball and more when we come back. We'll get to our first break here of hour number two, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're listening.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Don here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and love for you to join in over at Plainsman Park. Auburn continuing to lead Georgia Tech in a matchup of two top five teams. Auburn number four, Georgia Tech number three coming in. And Andreas Alvarez is really pitching well against a team that came in leading the nation in hitting.
Mm-hmm.
He has pitched 4 1/3 innings, given up an unearned run, struck out 8, and only given up 2 hits. To this Georgia Tech team.
Boy, it's nice to have pitchers.
Yeah, no kidding. Now,
and you, like you said, they're starting to hit the ball hard.
Now, let's see. Georgia Tech does have a runner on base. Dre walked 2 in the first. Since then, he has walked 1, and he hit the leadoff bat of this inning. So they've got a runner on first and 1 out, top 5, as Auburn looking to pick up a win over a top 5 team. And as we said earlier, another top 5 team coming in for the weekend. Texas
only,
number 2.
Only Texas. Yeah.
Texas, man, coming in. You're defending SEC champ.
And it's supposed to be beautiful and warm.
Yeah, it's going to warm back up. Going to be in the upper 70s to around 80. Yes, this
50
weekend.
50 degrees.
Man, no kidding. Were you working overnight?
Yeah.
Man, it was. Yeah, because it got down below 30 last night.
I think I saw some. I was not asleep, but I think I felt some sleet a little bit. But
I don't doubt it at all. I mean, it was actually sleeting a little bit on me as I left my house yesterday to come in and do the show. So.
Yeah, I tell you, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
But hopefully after this weekend, I'm sure we'll have some cool nights, but my wife's wanting to plant. So she's ready to go.
Hopefully this is the last, that last freeze. Yeah. Because, you know, like I was saying, we've got some things that didn't get covered last night that I hope make it.
Yeah, she's worried about some stuff too. Beautiful blooms, and we'll see. As long as the wind's blowing, you got a chance. But once that wind dies down, it's gonna get it.
Yeah, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Let's go to the phones. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey guys, have y'all's azaleas bloomed yet?
Yes, some of them have. I mean, you know, like for us at our house, the white ones have bloomed. The pink ones are in the process.
Yep.
Okay, because I was just thinking about the Masters in April. You know how the azaleas are like at peak. I'm curious if they've already bloomed in Augusta.
Great question.
They do an unbelievable job of being able to keep them and being able to either hold them off or, I don't know if they have encore. I don't think they're encores, but
yeah, you being from Florida, a lot of the orange groves would run water at night.
Yeah.
So maybe they do that at Augusta. I don't know.
Okay. I was just curious because, it was 30 degrees this morning here.
Yeah.
In the panhandle.
Yeah.
Probably going to be the same tomorrow, but that's not really why I called. But I heard y'all talking about plants and yards and stuff. But anyway, I was looking at the baseball schedule this weekend, and I'm assuming that the SEC Network or whoever could change it. But Auburn's number four, Texas number two. And I believe all three games are on
SEC Plus.
Uh-huh.
That makes no sense.
No.
At all. I mean, I looked at some of the other games that were going to be on, the SEC Network or ESPN2 or whatever, and I'm like, really? If you can't put one of Auburn and Texas on, a regular network?
Yeah, it a lot of it is predetermined, especially here earlier in the season. It's going to be based on last year or what they think is going to get the biggest numbers. I see Thursday night you're getting Oklahoma LSU, and it's because Oklahoma right now is a top 10 team, and LSU you would expect would be, but they're not right now. Is there a Friday night game? I don't think there's a Friday night game that's not. Well, I guess it's Vandy, Mississippi State is the SEC Network game Friday night. And then Saturday, have you got the thing is with the tournament going on, the NCAA tournament going on, it's difficult for them to have a lot of space. I don't see a game on Saturday that's not on SEC Plus. Do you?
I thought I saw one because I went to the SEC website and looked at the baseball schedule and
I'm on the SEC site right now. Saturday it's like Kentucky, Ole Miss, Georgia A&M, Oklahoma, LSU, Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, South Carolina, Missouri, Tennessee, Vandy, Mississippi State, Auburn, Texas, all SEC Plus. So. There's not a game on Saturday on the SEC Network.
Well, I didn't think about basketball, and especially with ESPN doing the night.
Well, you've got some other winter sports that are getting to postseason as well. That's probably with things like that coming down the wire. They've probably got other obligations or other sports that. They feel like they need to show them as they're either in playoffs or getting close to them as opposed to like the first weekend or second weekend.
Okay. Well, I don't get ESPN Plus, but I can get the SEC SEC Network Plus. I can get that through my DirecTV.
Well, that's good. So you'll be able to watch them there.
Yeah. So I'll be able to watch them there. So. Okay. Yeah, it just seems strange, a top five.
Yeah, it's a shame that you can't watch a top five matchup like that on regular TV. Appreciate it, Mitch. We got to get to our bottom of the hour break. Yep, because Jake Crane is going to join us on the other side. So stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Looking for a home?
U.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. We're going to head to the drive hotline. Welcome in our good friend from Crane and Cone. That's Jake Crane. Jake, it's a fun day for Auburn sports fans today. First day of spring football practice. Got a top five baseball game going on right now that Auburn leading Georgia Tech 4-1, bottom five. And then you cap it off with some late night basketball.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, anytime spring practice starts for Auburn, you know, there's going to be a lot of hype around it. Interested to see kind of how the spring goes. You know, baseball, just continue to be impressed. I mean, Andreas had a career high in strikeouts today through five innings, had 10.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn's got to keep the pedal down. As far as basketball goes, look, I understand still playing, but, you know, we've reached a point now at Auburn where the NIT's it's failure. And it should be viewed at that. I mean, I'm glad they're playing, I guess, but to be honest with you, it's whatever. I'm more worried about the baseball and football team.
Oh, I hear you, and I mean it's hard, you know, to argue with that, and that's one of the things we asked Steven yesterday, and he said, I thought it was a pretty interesting answer. He said, well, he hadn't seen the players since the selection show, but he hadn't gotten any calls or texts saying there were any opt-outs. We had Andy on a little while ago, Andy Burcham on a little while ago. I thought if he knows something, he's been told not to say it, so I didn't even ask him about that, but. I won't be stunned if everybody's not available tonight when Auburn takes on South.
No, there's a couple I could, or at least one I could guess. And to be honest with you, I don't think it'd be the worst thing if he wasn't out there. I just watched the team he played for last year make the tournament once he's finally gone. Look, again, I want to care. All that's great, but I hope we don't see most of the same guys out on the court next year. Here that they've got to make some changes and make them fast. This isn't acceptable.
No, and I it was interesting. One of the things that Steven said was, and this one does make sense, that as far as being able to handle the planning, scouting, and preparation for the portal, it does make sense that it'd be easier to do that when you're playing at home. And as the top seed in the NIT, they wouldn't have to travel until they reach the semifinals if they win.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some positives to it. I mean, you know, anytime you get to compete, you want to compete. And they're going to have to lean heavy on the portal because he's going to have to get some results
next year
after this year, and he knows that. I think he will. I've still got faith in him. But, yeah, it's recruiting time. Obviously, you want to win, and all that stuff's great. But they've got to go get some guys that can do it when it matters, not wilt under the pressure and fall apart.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a very I don't know that you could say where it couldn't be more important than finding the right pieces and you know targeting them and then locking them down and getting them in, because I don't know how many players you were talking about it and. You'd like there to be some carryover, some foundation for next year, but there aren't many guys that you would say, oh, yeah, you're in great shape if he's a starter next year returning from this year.
100%. You got to go get some guys out there that take pride in playing one-on-one defense. You got to go get some guys out there that want the moment, that feel like they should be in that moment, that it's not about them. It looked like there was a lot of individuals playing on Auburn's basketball team this year, just trying to get theirs and the results. You got to go get some team-minded guys that are mentally tough enough to not only be a part of it. Heck, I watched Auburn's team get in a fight on a plane last year, and it actually brought them closer together. It never just seemed like this team gelled, and you could see that when it got thick.
Yeah, you're right. Let's talk a little bit, get your thoughts on the teams that did make the big dance. There appears to just be, there's a small group that is at the top, and then there are a bunch of teams that there's not a whole lot of difference in my eyes when I look at it from around seven or eight teams maybe that you go, man, any of these teams could make a run, even though you're looking at the four or five that you feel like are as good as anybody. But then probably 25, 30 teams that could knock each other off as we head into it. Is there anybody that jumps out to you as somebody you like as a dark horse, a low seed that you think has either got the path or maybe can sort of surprise folks and make a run to the Sweet 16?
I guess if we're considering, I guess, a Cinderella as a six seed or above, I guess I'll go off that premise.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's obviously a couple fours. You look at Arkansas, which,
oh, sure.
You know, eventually they'd have to run into Arizona. Obviously, Bama, I think, got a pretty good draw as a four seed. But, man, outside of your normal upsets, UCLA at a 7 is interesting to me. I know they probably have to run into UConn in the second round, but they got some guys that I think can really do it. You know, A&M at the 10, you got Houston in the second round, so you don't feel great about that. I think Wisconsin's kind of sneaky. That Wisconsin-Arkansas game in the second round could really, really, really be a lot of fun.
Yeah, because this is not your old Wisconsin, no.
No, it's not at all. I mean, Tennessee's a 6, Kentucky's a 7. We know Kentucky's talented. I don't think there's a 6 or a 7 that's going to, go all the way to the Final Four. But as far as getting to a Sweet 16, nothing would shock me. I tell you, I'd watch out for South Florida at the 11. I've actually got them in the Sweet 16. We did our pick show the other day. But outside of that, man, it's going to be tough not to have Michigan, Arizona, Duke, and probably Florida in the Final Four.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It is really tough not to do that. And you know, it feels like as time goes by, you have opportunities for people to make big moves, but it seems tougher and tougher for me not to to go more chalk, it feels like, almost every year.
I know it's getting to that point, and not that I think Cinderella's are quote unquote dead, but it feels like midnight's coming a lot sooner than it did in the past.
Well, I guess a lot of those teams, you know, those stud players aren't sticking around with those programs for very long. I mean, once they show what they can do, they're gone that next year to a team that gives them a better chance of winning the title.
Oh no, I 100%. I just, you know, it's gotten so interesting trying to keep up with who's who. You know, you forget that, like, Donovan Dentz at UCLA, who came over from UNLV, that's a really good player. But then you look at a team like High Point that kind of reversed it. Now, if you've ever seen pictures of High Point's campus, you instantly understand that they have enough money to probably do it. But they had a transfer in from Kansas, one in from Kentucky. So it's not a lost art that kind of goes in the reverse, that some of these guys that started out at big places kind of find a home in these mid-majors that do well.
Yeah, I mean, well, those are great opportunities for players that either got caught up in a roster that was so deep that they didn't get the opportunity to, sort of felt like it was a disappointment for them to be at those places, and they can go somewhere where they can really shine. So yeah, you're right. There, it does go both ways.
Oh, 100%. And again, you know, guys are looking for playing time. And if you're a place that shows that can make the NCAA tournament and kind of the way that Loyola Chicago did for a while, it's you can survive in this landscape, I think.
You mentioned, Alabama's a 4 has got Hofstra. They ought to be able to handle Hofstra without Aiden Holloway. But how much does the loss of him, because I don't think there's any way that they're going to get this thing resolved enough or whatever to be able to play him. I mean, that's got to be a huge impact because he's their number 2 scorer.
Yeah, and it just takes away the continuity of what you've been doing. And when you play a style like Alabama, you know, you need as many guards on deck as possible, and Holloway took a lot of pressure off Filon. Now, look, they still have Reitzel. They've got some guys that can mix it up, but this does kind of throw the rotation out of whack a little bit, and I don't see this getting resolved anytime soon. So Hofstra, they should take care of them. Hofstra does run like one of the slowest paces in college basketball, which is always kind of scary if you're a team that runs up-tempo in case you fall in that trap. But I think Alabama has them beat at birth. Where you're going to see it, though, is against Texas Tech, because even though they don't have Toppin, Texas Tech can strain you defensively, and you need guys that can create and hit contested shots. And as love him or hate him, Aiden can definitely do that.
Oh, there's no question about that. But love it. It gets started tonight with, it's now the first 4. It's no longer play-in that we were talking about. But, the nightcap tonight's a couple of teams that Auburn beat in Texas and NC State.
Yeah, that kind of makes it hurt worse,
yeah,
right?
You're not kidding.
When it came down to that, somewhere Notre Dame football is unbelievably upset because apparently the head-to-head doesn't matter that much in college basketball. But Auburn's got nobody to blame but themselves.
No, you're right.
You lose to Ole Miss at home in the regular season when you have to have it. You don't deserve to play in the tournament.
No, I agree with you. As I mentioned, it was first day of spring football practice. Jake was we were out there for a little while. Got to see about a half an hour, and it was much more energetic offensively than we've seen over the last few years. The intensity I think on the offense matched the defense today, and that was fun to see.
Yeah, and that's what Auburn needs. They need a total culture shift. Everybody gets excited about spring, a couple days. You really find out about your team when it's about day 9 and you hit each first and got up. That's when you find out what leadership you think. From what I've seen, I think the leadership offensively is better. They don't just go out there hoping it goes good.
No, you're right. Byron Brown
and Bill, yeah. Byron Brown looks huge.
Jake, he looks like a linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm standing right there next to him as we talk to him after practice, and he's every bit of 6'3", 230 something. I mean, Don.
He looks good.
Woo. I mean, he's got a bit of a funky delivery, but man, the ball comes out and gets there quickly.
Yeah. Look, he's due for 3,000 yards. I think the running element takes a lot of pressure off the passing element for him. And you know, I'm sitting here questioning, can he carry the load the way he did at South Florida running the ball in the SEC? And you know, initially, just from what you've learned outside of Cam Newton and Tim Tebow, that's not a good recipe. But after seeing that way that guy looks, I don't know, he may be able to handle it.
Yeah,
and with the stable of backs that he has around him, and he was talking about that a little bit after practice today. I mean, they can take a little of the pressure off him, but he can really help that core as well. Yeah, I mean, I know it was day one, and a lot of guys look good running around in shorts, but this receiver core is from one to ten, it's as good as I've seen in a while because they've got a bunch of guys that look the part and they really catch the ball and they weren't lobbing throws in today either.
Well, and I think they can run more than three routes. So
yeah,
that's always
you're
a
right
good thing. Look, you've got guys that played in this offense, so the learning curve at the top of your wide receiver room is basically non-existent. You're just building off what you did at South Florida. But I'm telling you, and I've been trying to tell people this, as important as getting the wide receivers were, I get that. I think getting the center was a really big deal when it comes to kind of coalescing as an offensive unit. You've got the quarterback, you've got the center, you've got the guys on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody else can just hold their weight, this offense can do some things, I think.
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance. I was listening to Byron and just caught the tail end of Cole Best. If some folks get a chance to listen to the interview with him, that's a leader.
He's slowly becoming my second favorite Cole as an offensive lineman. Kublik's still number one in my heart.
I hear you, Jake. Great stuff as always. Hey, let everybody know what you got available and what's coming up there at Crane and Cone.
Yeah, well, we put out our March Madness picks yesterday. You go to YouTube, it's Crain and Cone. Got a great show tomorrow. It's kind of talking about the top five, what we think will be the most consequential games of the 2026 college football season.
Cool.
So, head on over there and check us out.
Looking forward to it. Jake, again, thanks, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, man. Y'all be good.
All right. Jake Crane joining us as he does on Tuesdays. We need to get to our final break of the afternoon. We'll update you on what's going on at the ballpark, another run for the Tigers, as we wind things down here on the Tuesday Drive.
Auburn IT delivers professional IT support to businesses across Alabama and
Ohio. Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final couple of minutes here on this Tuesday edition. Let's update you. I said we'd update you on baseball. Auburn looking to break this game open in the bottom of the fifth. They have the bases loaded, a run in, and leading it 5-1, just one out in the bottom of the fifth. Again, Andreas Alvarez gave up a run in the top of the first and has really pitched well. As Jake mentioned, 10 strikeouts through five innings for Alvarez against a Georgia Tech team that was only striking out on the average of seven times a game. So Auburn with a chance to have a big inning with Lucas Steele at the plate and the bases loaded in the bottom of the fifth. And he just walked in at the second run that's been walked in this inning. So it's now to one. Meanwhile, the first four underway in the NCAA tournament, and Howard out to an 8-point lead over UMBC as they approach the 12-minute mark. It is 19-11. Second game tonight will be Texas and NC State there in Dayton. Fun show today. Fun day, yeah, Don. Thanks for coming in.
A lot of stuff going on. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Absolutely. That is right. Don's wearing his green.
Yeah, I get to pinch you. Oh, okay. Drew's got his on.
I don't think I've got any on. I changed a while ago.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah. All right. Fun show. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yep, for sure.
Recapping everything that's going on for the rest of this day. Jason Caldwell should be joining us at the outset. But we're out of time here on the Tuesday Drive. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here. All right, he's